senior Iranian commander says that the U.S.'s humiliating exit from the region is the price it's paying for the assassination of General Soleimani. Palestinian government says Israel approved the construction of 12,000 new settler units and razed 177 Palestinian homes in the occupied Al-Quds last year. And also, major fire breaking out at South Africa's Parliament building in Cape Town. The details coming up. I'm Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. Top story this hour, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps saying that a humiliating withdrawal from the region will be the price that the U.S. will have to pay for assassinating Lieutenant General Soleimani. IRGC spokesman Ramazan Sharif says it's now time for the U.S. to pull its troops out of other regional countries following its disgraceful pullout from Afghanistan. He pointed to recent comments by former Afghan President Ashraf Ghani about how Americans betrayed him and urge Arab leaders in the region to avoid a similar fate by not relying on the U.S. He said that General Soleimani had promised long ago to fully defeat the Daesh terrorists and Washington's cronies in the region, a promise that got materialized later on. The U.S. assassinated the general in Iraq 2 years ago. The commander was at the forefront of the war on terror in the region. I'll talk to political commentator Saeed Chahabi about the consequences of the U.S. impunity in the assassination of General Soleimani. Here's what he had to say.
It has the right to ask the UN to express an opinion. It has everybody in the world must express any opinion on any action by any country, if it is legal or illegal. If it is illegal, then you must condemn it. If people do not stand against the wrongdoing of any state, of any country, of any regime, then you only end up with anarchy and violence. This is what we don't want. We don't want this war to continue facing terrorism, whether it is by states or by groups. And for a country to use extrajudicial killing against another country is simply out of bound as far as the international law is concerned. And I do not believe that the Americans did get any real support, any legal and legitimate support from countries for violating the sovereignty of Iran.
An Iranian team of judicial experts has revealed details of an investigation into the U.S. assassination of prominent military figure, General Soleimani. The experts argue that the assassination was an extrajudicial murder. Yusuf Jalali has a report.
Inside the former U.S. embassy in Tehran, Iranian judicial experts gathered to reveal the details of a probe into the U.S. assassination of Iranian top military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. drone strike outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump.
The U.S. justifies its crime by branding it as self-defense or targeted killing. There is no such legal term in the international law. It is an assassination and cannot be justified by fake terms. It's an extrajudicial murder which violates the UN resolutions 1368 and 1370. Furthermore, based on the Chicago Convention, the use of UAVs in another sovereign country requires the permission of that country. Iraq says it did not give such a permission to the U.S. to carry out the strike.
Iran and Iraq have formed a joint investigation committee comprised of Iraqi and Iranian judicial experts. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with General Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
General Soleimani was on a mission to Iraq, a mission that concerns the fight against terrorism. The Convention on Special Missions protects the rights of General Soleimani, but Washington breached that convention as well. So all these violations of international law are considered a crime, and we are taking the case to international judicial bodies to penalize the perpetrators.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for eliminating Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also led major operations in Syria that led to the recapturing of key areas from the terror group. That's why his assassination is viewed as a huge loss for the region and a big win for the terrorists, something which experts say leads to a safe interpretation that Washington must be on the terrorists' team.
2 years have passed since General Soleimani was assassinated, and Iran is still as resolute to prosecute those behind the incident. Iran's judiciary calls the culprits the terrorists' comrades, saying it will not stop until all perpetrators are brought to justice. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned the latest Israeli air raids that targeted several locations across the Gaza Strip. Hamas's spokesman says that the air raids are another act of aggression by Tel Aviv against Palestinians, and that the resistance front will keep defending the people until the occupied territories are liberated. According to the official, the air defense units of resistance force will confront the enemy warplanes. Israeli jet fighters targeted the Hamas training center in the town of Khan Yunis in western Gaza Strip. They also hit Hamas security posts and training centers of the Islamic Jihad movement north of the coastal territory. According to new figures, it shows how fast Israel has been advancing its expansionist policy in the occupied Palestinian territories over the past year. The Palestinian government says the regime approved the construction of 12,000 new settler units in the occupied Al-Quds alone last year. The data shows Israel also raised 177 Palestinian homes and issued orders for the destruction of another 200 over the past year. The Israeli military frequently destroys Palestinian homes, and that's part of the campaign to expand settlements. The Palestinians say that Tel Aviv is seeking to change the Arab identity of the occupied territories. They've called for international action to halt those violations. All Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. All right, now from Ramallah, Mona Candela, our correspondent, is joining us. Mona, good to have you with us. So tell us about the pace and how quickly this settlement expansion is being pushed by the Tel Aviv regime, and what happened the year before, 2021?
Well, this is a statement that was issued by the Palestinian Ministry of Al-Quds Affairs, saying that everything the Israeli regime was doing in 2021 was an attempt to force the Palestinians living in the Holy City out of Al-Quds. As you have mentioned, in the Holy City of Al-Quds alone, 12,000 Israeli settler units were built for the Israeli Jewish settlers, of course, in Al-Quds alone. At the time, more than 177 Palestinian structures and homes were destroyed by the Israeli forces in the city of Al-Quds. Of course, this comes at a time also numerous notifications were issued for the Palestinian residents in order to either destroy their homes by themselves and to avoid paying high fines for the Israeli regime, or the Israeli bulldozers and the Israeli forces will come and destroy the Palestinian homes and then high fines for the Israeli regime. So on the one hand, there is approvals for settler units in occupied Al-Quds. On the other hand, Palestinians' homes are being destroyed, and in the first place, they are not giving the Israeli issued permits to construct on their own lands. When the homes are being destroyed, the Israeli regime confiscate the lands, and if they are next to the Israeli settlements, then these lands would be annexed to the Israeli settlements, or even would be used for Israeli-only boats in the city.
Okay, thanks for that, Mona Candel in Ramallah. Now, moving on to Yemen, the army there has expounded on military achievements made by the Ansarullah movement and allied units against foreign-backed mercenaries in the year 2021. The army says that over 1,500 mercenaries were killed during last year's operations.
been more than 120,000 operations for the artillery unit, and those infantry were able to inflict losses against the enemy forces and posts and hit direct targets. More than 1,500 of the mercenaries and the troops of the enemy were killed during all the operations in 2021, and many vehicles, armored vehicles, and so on were confiscated, and arms and armed caches, they were all confiscated during the operations that were launched during this year.
General Sarri said the army liberated approximately 150 square kilometers of occupied lands last year. He added that the army performed more than 4,000 surveillance operations against aggressors. Sarri said that 160 Saudi and Emirati troops, including top officers, were killed during the Yemeni military operations last year. He said that the army will continue its offensive to fully liberate Yemen from foreign-backed militants. Now, that's while a human rights advocacy group in Yemen has released statistics of crimes committed by the Saudi-led war on the impoverished country during 2021. The report sheds light on civilian casualties of the Saudi airstrikes across the country, our correspondent reports.
In a press conference in the capital, Sana'a, Yemen's Eye for Humanity Center for Rights and Development released its new report on the Saudi crimes committed against Yemenis during 2021. The report highlights the number of victims of the Saudi air attacks and the destruction of the country's infrastructure.
Recently, the Saudi-led coalition has escalated its raids against civilian facilities and residential areas crowded with civilians in Yemen, and tried to justify this by saying that there were military activities in those areas, which was not true. We monitor all the crimes of the Saudi-led coalition and the victims who fall in Saudi airstrikes and mortar shelling.
The report says Saudi warplanes have launched over 9,900 airstrikes against civilian facilities across Yemen last year, killing 387 civilians, including 96 children, and injuring hundreds more.
Last year was a bloody year in which the coalition committed the most heinous crimes and killed hundreds of innocent civilians, including children. In the new year, the United Nations is expected to continue its strategy and remain silent in the face of these atrocities. This is because of the financial support that the world body receives from the countries of the coalition.
In a previous report, the human rights group said more than 43,000 civilians had been hurt or killed in relentless airstrikes across Yemen since Saudi Arabia launched a war on its southern neighbor in 2015. It said nearly 4,000 children were among those killed.
As people around the world celebrate the New Year with festivals and joyful events, Yemenis enter a new year of war and siege imposed on their country by Saudi Arabia. People here believe that the years-long resistance will eventually bring Riyadh to justice for its crimes in Yemen. Abdulatif Roshali, Sana'a.
Firefighters are struggling to contain a major fire that's been burning for several hours at South Africa's Parliament building in Cape Town. It erupted in an old building of the National Assembly. Officials say there's been no injuries or fatalities, but they suspect significant damage. The cause remains unknown. Reports suggest that the fire started in the office space and then spread out to other parts. The smoke coming out of the roof could be seen from miles away. Authorities say that the situation is not yet under control. Thousands of anti-military protesters are again on the streets of Sudan's capital, Khartoum, demanding full civilian rule. Security forces fired tear gas to disperse the rioters. No casualties reported. On Thursday, six people died and hundreds were injured in similar rallies nationwide. The deaths bring to 54 the number of people who got killed in crackdown after a military coup on October 25th. Military leader General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan detained Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. Hamdok was reinstated in November, but anti-coup protests went on. Sudan has been governed by a coalition government made up of military and civilian leaders since long-time ruler Omar al-Bashir was toppled in 2019. Another grim milestone for Europe in its fight against the pandemic. The continent's overall COVID infections are now over 100 million. The figure accounts for more than one-third of COVID cases recorded over the past 2 years. Nearly 5 million of the European infections were registered in the last week alone. Of course, of those cases, more than 1 million were detected in France. Europe has been a hotspot of infections in recent weeks. The more virulent Omicron variant is taking part of the blame. Despite the uptick, COVID-related deaths are decreasing in Europe. The daily average over the past week was around 3,400. That's a 7% drop from the week before. Well, in the meantime, disruptions to global air travel going on with thousands of flights canceled or delayed worldwide. Tracking website FlightAware says that some 4,700 flights were canceled on Saturday, 2,700 of them in the U.S. A total of over 11,000 others were delayed, with the United States accounting for 6,000 of them. Many pilots, flight attendants, and other staff are absent from work, either because they contracted COVID or are in quarantine. Bad weather is also causing some disruptions in the United States with snowstorm, particularly hitting airports in Chicago. And with that, we come to the end of this broadcast from Tehran.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of journalism.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 2nd, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate to all our listeners around the world the coming of the new Christian year, that is year 2022. We wish you all peace, love, joy, good tidings, and of course health. Yes, we congratulate all our listeners around the world the new year 2022. Stay with us until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to IRIB English Radio staff, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So, here I send my warm appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rafan Ahmed from Bangladesh, Hasna from India, and Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia. So, Rafan, Alexandra, and Hasna, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here I send my warm gratitude to those of our great listeners around the world who have kindly sent us emails, including Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, Alexei Kolakov, one of our old and regular listeners from India, Reginaldo from Brazil, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, of course, one of our old and regular listeners, your Clemens Hoffman, one of our regular listeners from Germany, has sent us an email, and the last but not the least is an email from Chris Malboff, one of our regular listeners from Canada. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these emails from around the world. Well, today, as I said, is January 2nd, 2022, and we've received many emails from around the world, and all of them, mostly all of them, focused on the new year 2022, and of course, they are congratulatory messages from our dear listeners around the world. And we start with an email from India, from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Jayanta says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, as a long-time listener, I take this opportunity to wish all members at IRIB English Radio my heartiest greetings for a happy, prosperous, and peaceful new year to all of you, and may you continue entertain and inform listeners in the coming year 2022 as well. With kind regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And thank you very much for sending us these congratulatory messages. Of course, this message is not just for IRIB English Radio. It's for all the listeners of IRIB English Radio as they listen to this program, Listeners Special. Jayanta Chakrabarty, we also, on behalf of IRIB English Radio, wish you all the best in life, wish you a happy, prosperous, and peaceful new year 2022. As for your information and for the information of all our listeners around the world that listen to IRIB English Radio, we Iranians celebrate the new year at the beginning of spring. our calendar is based on solar Hijri calendar. Yes, we celebrate Nowruz and the beginning of spring, every spring that comes. Anyway, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you very much for sending us this email. We wish you peace, love, joy, good tidings, and of course health in the new year 2022. The next email is also a congratulatory message from Russia, from Alexei Kolakov, one of our regular listeners. Alexei says, hello and thank you for the kind message. I also want to congratulate you on happy new year 2022. Best wishes to you and your family and all the listeners around the world. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, salam and warmest greetings to you. And many thanks for sending us this congratulatory message from Russia. We're so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in your region. We also congratulate you on the new year 2022. We wish you all the best. Best wishes, of course, to you, your family, and of course, all listeners of IRIB English Radio around the world. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Write to us soon. And of course, don't forget to tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs in the new year 2022. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Brazil, from Reginaldo. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and Reginaldo from Brazil has sent us a message, of course, an email. This is a congratulatory message. Reginaldo says, a happy new year 2022, and thank you for your sweet message on this very occasion. I should say that I am so happy these days as I am going to spend the holiday with my family. Here in Brazil, Christmas is a little different because we are in the southern hemisphere, and it's actually summer in Brazil. And not only the weather, but also the food and melodies are also different from the countries in the northern hemisphere. Thank you again for your beautiful message, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. Salam and warm greetings to you, Reginaldo from Brazil, from southern hemisphere, from a warm place, of course, at this time of the year in your region. Happy New Year 2022 to you, Reginaldo, and thank you very much for sending us this email. As you said, in Brazil and in many countries that are located in the southern hemisphere, Christmas is much different because they live in the southern hemisphere and it's actually summer. So the atmosphere is much different, the weather, and in your region, the food and melodies are different from the countries that are located in the northern hemisphere. So anyway, it's okay. We wish you all the best in the new year 2022. We wish you peace. We wish you health, of course, in the time of pandemic. We wish peace and health prevails all over the world, and we wish everyone, especially our great listeners around the world, a very happy 2022 new year. Reginaldo from Brazil, write to us soon, and don't forget to tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs, especially in the new year 2022. And from India again, we have an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar, one of our old and regular listeners. Dr. Hemant Kumar says, Happy New Year 2022. May this new year, God grants you five things. Sun to warm you, moon to charm you, an angel to protect you, true love to care for you, a friend to listen to you. Happy New Year 2022. Salam and warm greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. And thank you very much for sending us such a sweet message on the new year 2022. It was great. It was like a poem. Let me read it again. Sun to warm you, moon to charm you, an angel to protect you, true love to care for you, and a friend to listen to you. It was great. Thank you very much, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. We wish you all the best in the new year 2022. Write to us soon, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany from Jörg Clemens Hoffmann. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Your Clemens Hoffmann from Germany, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a congratulatory message. He says, dear friends around the world, I wish you all a merry, peaceful, and blessed Christmas season and a happy, healthy, and successful New Year 2022. Yours truly. Salam and warm greetings to you, your Clemens Hoffmann from Germany, and thank you very much for sending our friends around the world, our listeners around the world, this congratulatory message. Thank you very much. We also we wish you a merry, peaceful, and blessed, happy New Year 2022. Of course, we wish all our listeners around the world a very happy and healthy New Year 2022. Your Clemens Hoffmann from Germany, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. And the last but not the least is an email from Canada. And this email is again focused on the new year 2022. Let's see what Chris says. Chris Malbo from Canada. May this message find you in good health. I would like to share my Christmas memories with you and all the listeners around the world. When I was growing up, I used to have dinner at my great-grandmother's house and would open up the presents. We would also stay up till midnight and celebrate the new year all together. May 2022 brings you joy and happiness. Salam and warm greetings to Chris Malbo from Canada, and warm greetings and gratitudes to you for sending us and sharing us your childhood memories about Christmas with us and all IRB English radio listeners. We wish you peace, health, joy, good tidings to you on the new year 2022. And thank you very much for sharing us these really great memories of your childhood. As you said, you went to your great-grandmother's house and you used to open up the presents. That's funny. Thank you very much, Chris Malba from Canada, for sending us this email. Write to us soon, Chris. And, of course, don't forget to tell us your views about IRB English radio programs on the new year 2022. Well, dear listeners of this week's Listeners Special, time tells me we have to skip to the next section of this program, that is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Let's take a listen.
My name is Chris Dame here. I'm retired. I'm coming up to 75 years old, and I live in Hertfordshire. That's about 30 miles north. Sydney's in Hertfordshire, 30 miles north of London. Overall, I find the programs of IRB very interesting, obviously complete opposite to what we're learning in the media in Great Britain. This is obviously, again, it's a political situation in your country, but obviously it gives the enlightenment of your view of your side, and particularly your part of the world as to what's going on. particularly some of the news in the Middle East, is not covered here in our local media. In fact, in the last week, local media has been just obsessed with Brexit and Mr. Boris Johnson, and anything else that's happened on the international scene has really pretty well been ignored. A message to our listeners is obviously keep listening to IRIB, because obviously you're providing a very good service in giving an opposite view of what a lot of the media are saying in another part of the world. And I think this is important. Otherwise, not everyone gets one point of view, and there's nothing outstanding on the other side. And possibly the other side is right. And this has quite often happened before.
Dear listeners, before ending this program, on behalf of all IRIB English radio staff, I congratulate you on the coming of New Year 2022. We wish you peace, love, joy, good tidings, and health in the New Year 2022. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a question regarding a very important event that occurred in the history of Islam, and that is the event of Mubahila. Some of our listeners might be acquainted with this event. There was a group of Christians from the land called Najran who came to the Prophet and asked him certain questions about Islam. The Prophet debated with them, he answered their questions, and he was able to resolve all of the questions that they had regarding Islam, and he was able to, analytically and logically speaking and rationally speaking, answer all the questions that they had regarding Islam, and he convinced them that, you know, Islam was the right religion, and it had abrogated the Christian religion which preceded it. However, nevertheless, these Christians were not ready to submit to Islam and didn't want to become Muslims. During this time, God Almighty revealed certain verses in the Holy Quran, which ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to conduct a mubahila with these people. This mubahila was a mutual act of cursing that was to be performed by both parties, meaning that both parties would come to a certain place with their families, and then they would curse one another and ask God to send the punishment upon those people who were not upon the true religion. So the question we have regarding this event is exactly what transpired after this event occurred. Meaning, did these Christians eventually become Muslims or not? And then what happened exactly subsequent to this event? Historically, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his family, the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Lady Fatima, his daughter alayha as-salam, and his two grandchildren, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi wasallam. And the Christians of Najran who had come to the meeting place in which the mubahila was to be conducted, when they saw these holy personalities from afar and saw that their luminous and spiritual glow coming from them, they knew that their leader advised them not to conduct a mubahila with these people, because he said that if you conduct a mubahila with these people, you surely would be destroyed. The Christians asked their leader, then what then should we do, and how should we resolve this problem, because we don't want to submit to Islam. At the same time, we don't want to conduct this mubahila. How should we save ourselves from this predicament that we find ourselves in? So this person advised them to conduct a peace treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and agree to pay a certain tax, which in Islamic jurisprudence we call the jizya, which non-Muslims are to pay. Non-Muslims who live in a Muslim government, under the auspices of a Muslim government, pay to the Muslim government in order to live freely and securely and safely within the Islamic government, and they're free in this case to perform their religion. And this is what the Christians did. They didn't accept Islam. They came to the Prophet, conducted a peace treaty with him, and agreed to pay the jizya to them. But in any case, we still see, and it still indicates the fact that they were defeated in their debate and their with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it proves the truth of Islamic religion. Thank you for joining us on The Key. We were looking at the events of Mubahila and the events which followed it. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Increasingly dire ecological damage and severe impacts of the climate crisis are pushing the natural world towards a mass extinction event unparalleled since the age of the dinosaurs. conservationists in Germany warned recently, with humanity possibly facing self-annihilation if behaviors do not change. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Julia Conley, journalist. This article is published under the heading, Within Decade, Planet's Natural World Facing Largest Mass Extinction Event Since Dinosaurs. Stay tuned for more. Increasingly dire ecological damage and severe impacts of the climate crisis are pushing the natural world towards a mass extinction event unparalleled since the age of the dinosaurs. Conservationists in Germany warned recently, with humanity possibly facing self-annihilation if behaviors do not change. Releasing its annual winners and losers list recently, the World Wildlife Fund's German branch said 40,000 of the 142,500 species listed on the red list of the threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature are threatened with extinction. The red list is now longer than it has ever been since the IUCN began cataloging threatened species in 1964. More than 40% of amphibians, 27% of shark and ray species, a third of reef-building corals, and more than a quarter of all mammals on the red list are threatened with extinction. At the current rate of species loss, around 1 million species could go extinct within the next decade, which would be the largest mass extinction event since the end of the dinosaur age, WWF Germany said in a statement. With planet-heating atmospheric carbon dioxide emissions reaching a record high this year, contributing to drought, habitat loss, extreme weather, and health problems in humans as well as other species, the organization noted that humans should view the extinction crisis as one that could affect them directly. Species conservation is no longer just about defeating an environmental problem, but is rather about the question of whether or not humanity will eventually end up on the red list in an endangered category and thereby become a victim of its own lifestyle, WWF Germany director Eberhard Brandes said. He added, if the earth is sick, so will the people, because we depend on vital ecosystems and biodiversity for our own safe and healthy life. The losers on WWF's list include the polar bear, which is already suffering from the erosion of its Arctic habitat as the northern region becomes warmer. The Arctic Ocean could be completely free of ice by 2035 at the current rate of loss, making it increasingly difficult for the bears to find food. Sharks and rays also made the list, the result of overfishing, habitat loss, and the climate crisis. A third of all sharks and rays in the oceans were classified as threatened in 2021, the WWF said. African forest elephants have been considered critically endangered for the first time this year, as their population in Central and West Africa has plummeted by 86% in the past three decades. The inclusion of 40,000 species on the IUCN's list of threatened species represents a major acceleration of biodiversity loss. In 2010, 17,300 species were considered to be under threat, according to The Guardian. The WWF's list of winners this year includes bearded vultures, which have benefited from a resettlement program in the last 30 years that's resulted in more than 300 of the birds now living in the Alpine region. The Iberian lynx, whose population has increased more than tenfold in the past 18 years, and Siamese crocodiles in Cambodia. 8 young crocodiles were found by researchers this year, marking the first time in more than a decade that the species has reproduced in nature. Branda said the winners of the list show that there are still opportunities for species protection. If we implement effective nature conservation measures, we can protect plants, animals, and ultimately the climate.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We see in certain traditions that in order for a good or a virtue to become manifest, the opposite of it needs to obviously be removed, because the opposite becomes a veil, it becomes a barrier for which that virtue, that good thing, that good act, that moral trait, it becomes a barrier for that to be manifested. It blocks it. So in some traditions we see that, therefore we see that there are opposites in this thing, that in order for this to be manifested, that needs to be removed. If this is not removed, then this obviously cannot be manifested in its entirety. So we see in this tradition from Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, where she speaks about a particular matter that will enable a person to reach the understanding of a particular concept. And it's a very deep tradition. We'll just mention it and hopefully, inshallah, try and explain as much as possible. So, the hadith speaks about the concept of shirk. Now, shirk in its many forms. So again, here shirk may mean, you know, that absolute, you know, giving a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not one, he's not absolute, he's, and so on and so forth, the concept of shirk. But there's also another shirk that we all know of, that is what is known as shirk al-khafi, or the lesser shirk, where we do not see another lord in action, or another lord, but we see that the intermediaries between myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take them as being independent. This is also something that we need to be aware of. That there is nothing in this world that has independence. There is nothing in the cosmos. There is nothing in the created world. Again, when I say created world, I mean everything, not just this world, everything. There is nothing in creation that is independent except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For He is the only necessary being. He is the only essential being. Everything else gets it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in this tradition, she speaks about shirk. And she says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made and forbidden shirk. Again, both of them could be possible, but obviously leaning towards the first one, which is that shirk in terms of joining partners or ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not taking monotheism as the absolute. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that forbidden in order for His lordship to become clear, to become pure. That a person understands the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a pure manner. And again, the concept of lordship, what it actually means, inshallah, for another time, we don't have time to complete what we mean by rububiyyah. And why does it become ikhlas? Inshallah, for another time. Until then, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasir Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to